Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
What? You're not?
No, but he is my favorite conservative.
Oh, that's awfully nice. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. All right, so we start each show from now until the election with the latest polling. Let's get to it. In the Real Clear Politics, the RCP national average, Trump versus Biden. Last week, Trump was up 0.9. He has now almost doubled that to 1.9. Now, this is an average, so it is possible that the debate was taken into account. But well, I think we'll have better numbers next week.
Yeah, I all these numbers, I'm not sure that we have the full fallout from the debate for sure.
So yes, next which week we'll get to.
Very interesting. So,
yeah. All right.
Let's look at this day in history, which we always look back to this date in 2016 and 2020. So in 2016, Hillary was up 4.8. And in 2020, Joe Biden was up 9.6. So, you know, Trump's leading, what, 1.9, was it? Yeah. So that's pretty good territory to be in for his campaign.
Yes. All right, so let's talk about the battleground states. And again, we don't know for sure exactly if these polls were taken before or after the debate, but it is interesting. Pennsylvania, Trump was up 2.3 last week. He is maintaining that and increased it to 2.8. And in North Carolina, he was up 5.3. He has increased that significantly to 6.7.
Yeah, in Georgia, let's go down south. Last week, Trump was up 5. This week, he's only up 4. So that's
a little drop.
Interesting drop off. Yeah.
Yep.
In Michigan, one of the really important battleground states, last week, Trump was up 0.2. This week, he's up 1.2. So that's a pretty good increase there.
Absolutely.
You want to do Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, which we don't think Trump is going to get. He was up 0.3 last week. And I guess Edward disagrees. For those who are listening and can't see, he just made a face. And this week, it's at 0. So it's an even?
It's a tie.
It's a dead tie. Okay. Nevada is the one I find the most interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on out there.
We would love to know. So especially if you live there. So last week, Trump was up 5.7 in Nevada. This week, he's still up, but only by 2.8. So that lead was cut in half.
Yeah, that could be some sort of outlier poll or something that kind of skewed it a little bit. I don't know. But in Arizona,
yes.
Last week, Trump was up 4.8. He increased that to up 5.6. So, I mean, you got neighboring states and a big swing for both ways, which is kind of different.
Yes.
Sure.
All right. Shall we talk about the shit show that happened on Thursday night?
It is difficult to understate how bad President Biden was, or to overstate, I should say.
So we're going to talk about it, and we know this has been talked about ad nauseum. We do have a different take on it. We do come from different points of views, but also we're going to talk about the stuff that no one's really talking about, which is the actual substance of the night.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's hit some highlights.
Yes.
Or more accurately, low lights.
Yes.
A lot of low lights.
Lots of low lights. I'm so glad we did not do a drinking game. It would not have gone well. So let's talk about our initial impression of Biden, but you got to give me the last one here.
Sure. I mean, the first thing I noticed when he was just literally walking out from backstage to the podium, his gait was very halting as it's gotten worse and worse over time. And he just didn't look steady on his feet.
Yeah. Continue.
I mean, his voice, and you know, when he first started that first answer, I thought, well, maybe he just needs to clear his voice. It was horrible. It was so weak.
Yes. And they said, oh, he had a cold. They said that.
Yeah. But miraculously, the cold's cured.
Yes.
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 What else?
He looked very old.
Yeah, he really did. And these men are only about 3 or 4 years apart in age.
Yeah, I have heard some people describe him as the cadaver in chief.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And unfortunately, he played the part very well. His eyes, though, were really like these little beady eyes. They were like black for a while.
Yes, we've talked about that, too, where we think some of the medications they're putting him on could be affecting that. But the thing that I noticed, besides everything Edward just mentioned, that I had not seen before was with his chin looked like the butt chin, and Edward aptly pointed out it's kind of like Dudley Do-Right's chin. Now, Biden's never had a chin that's looked like that.
No, it's all of a sudden weird. It's gotten bigger, and it's got a big indentation in the middle of it.
Yeah, like a huge cleft.
Yeah, so it's cleft. Like when I call it a butt chin, it's got like two butt cheeks on each side.
It does.
Right? I mean,
it does.
What is that, a side effect from something, do you think?
We are totally speculating, but
wait, you're not a doctor?
No.
Okay.
That's just what they call me on TV. So we're totally speculating, but there is a known side effect of Ozempic that can lead to issues with your face. I don't know if chin specifically, but that's a total speculation on our part.
Yeah, that was...
It was just weird.
Whew, yeah, very much so.
All right, so let's get to the issues.
All right.
They started with the inflation and slash economy.
Yeah, so the first thing Biden comes out with in his very weak voice was he said he was handed an economy that was in free fall. So... To me, the Republicans and RNC, if you are listening, do not let this become the narrative.
Right. All right.
He was not handed economy in free fall. And I wanted to break it down very quickly here. The current gross domestic product, how much our country is growing, it's done in quarters. All right. The current GDP, the current growth of our economy this last quarter was 1.4%.
Okay. Right?
Now, a good economy in a quarter is going to grow at about 3%. So we are less than half of that.
Okay.
All right. So let's look at 2020. What did Trump hand off to Joe Biden?
Let's start at the beginning.
We're going to just do the four quarters of 2020.
Okay.
So the first quarter of 2020, the economy grew at 5%. I remember a good economy is 3%. So he was well over that.
Yeah, he was.
The next quarter is full-blown COVID.
Yeah.
All right. The economy actually retracted or shrunk 33%.
Yeah,
huge drop, right? All right, let's go to the third quarter of 2020. We're now starting to come out of COVID a little bit. You know, people are finally...
Some states are opening up.
Going back to work.
Yep.
The economy increased. It grew 31%, which was the largest quarterly growth ever in U.S. history.
Okay, right? And so that last quarter of 2020, what did he actually give Biden?
He handed off to Joe Biden an economy that grew at 4.1%. Remember, 3% is considered good. So he handed off an economy that was actually growing much more than what would be considered a good economy.
Yeah.
So to stop this crap of the economy was in free fall.
Biden also said that he created 15,000 new jobs. He meant 15 million. That's total bullshit because they are counting people who actually went back to work. Now, the current unemployment rate is 4%. A good unemployment rate is between 3 and 5%. So that's good. But let's do the 2020 unemployment by quarter again, just as Edward did with GDP. So quarter one of 2020, the unemployment rate was 3.8%, lower than what it is right now. Second quarter of 2020, full-blown COVID, the unemployment rate, 13%. Third quarter of 2020, the unemployment rate drops to 8.8%. Again, as more businesses are opening up, a lot of states are opening up, things are changing. The last quarter of 2020, the unemployment rate that Donald Trump handed off to Biden, so still dealing with the effects of COVID, was 6.7%. So this is where I feel, this is why I feel it was kind of a wash, because the unemployment rate now is lower than what Trump handed off to Biden.
Yeah, I understand that part. I think Trump won this by default because Biden just visually and sounded so old. And that's what people, this was like the first question out there. And people were like, what the?
Yeah, but I'm going to say just on the merits of what we heard, I feel like it was a tie.
Okay.
All right. Then sort of a subset of the same topic, inflation and the economy, they talked about debt. And the first thing out of my mouth, I looked at Edward, I'm like, they're both guilty.
Yeah.
They're both guilty. Go ahead and tell us what Trump said.
Yeah, I mean, so Trump responded that tax cuts spurred the economy, which they do. They always have. They end up taking in more money in the Treasury with tax cuts than without them. He said, I am ready to use liquid gold, the oil and gold, and the gold and the gas that's under our feet.
Yeah.
He said the vaccine mandate was a disaster from this guy. It was a disaster. He said, I didn't mandate anything, which.
That's true. Yeah. Trump did not put the mandates in.
Correct.
Biden did.
Biden did. And more importantly, the states did.
Yes.
And mostly Democrat run states. But and he finished up with basically saying we're no longer respected as a country.
Okay. Yeah. And give us the next line that Biden.
Well, Biden says Trump had the largest national debt of any president in 4 years.
But then this is the best part. This is when he starts to blank out. Like he just, it's almost like a robot that kind of goes, you know.
He was glitching.
He was glitching. And then he said, he sort of mumbled, and this is Biden, we finally beat Medicare. And this is the first instance of these two moderators, Dana Bash and Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper saved his ass and said, thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, because I don't think his minute was up.
Oh, it wasn't
his
up.
Response. He just immediately went in and grabbed him. We're like, what are you doing? Yes. Let him go.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then what
Trump didn't miss a beat. He said, you know, he's right. He's beating it to death. He'll single-handedly destroy Medicare and Medicaid. So
on debt, who won this?
I got to go with Trump because Biden just went off the rails again.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Abortion. I'm going to talk about this segment. And I'll just preface it by saying this should have been an easy win for Biden and the Democratic Party. But this is what Trump said. He said, the Supreme Court just approved the abortion pill. I will not block it. He said the Supreme Court voted in favor, this is of killing Roe versus Wade. Now, President Trump, that was a bad choice of words, yes. Killing Roe versus Wade, bad choice of words. But what he also went on to say was, like Ronald Reagan, I believe in exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. And he kept reiterating, you know, this went back to the states and all the states have a different point of view. And I thought that Reagan line was great, but then Trump said, but you got to get elected. It's like, oh. But let me continue. Then Biden said that was a terrible decision about the Supreme Court and everything. And then he said something about being raped by an immigrant, which Trump was ready to pounce on. Trump wanted to talk about immigration. And then Dana Bash saved Biden's ass.
Yeah.
This is instance number two where the moderators were interfering.
Yeah, they were. For the most part, they...
For the most part, they were good.
But early on, it seemed like they were trying
they
to
were
right a
him.
Ship.
Yeah, they were bailing him out.
For him. Yeah, he was talking about, you know, illegals murdering people. And Trump's like, yeah, they are.
Yes. Yeah. Trump said, yes, many young women have been murdered by illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to all of the women out there, because this, I was a single issue voter for a very long time. We've covered this in previous episodes. I don't have those numbers at my fingertips, but we've talked about my feelings. I'm very pro-choice, or as Edward would say, pro-abortion. But I do believe there should be restrictions, and I do believe there should be limits on when a woman can get an abortion. So Trump in no way is threatening any kind of federal ban on abortion.
Correct.
Like not at all. I mean, kind of remember that Trump was a liberal for many, many years. And even that little line that he said that he shouldn't have said, you have to get elected, is some insight into how Trump actually feels about abortion.
Yeah, I gave the win to Trump.
He
went a little further. Now, yeah, first off, to give a abortion topic a win to the Republicans is amazing. So great job, Joe Biden. But Trump also in that answer, he went into a little bit, he said, you know, we're letting the states vote. And he said, look at Ohio. They're more liberal when they voted than I thought they'd be. Kansas is the same way. So he made a great point of the states are in control, and there some of them are actually way more liberal than you would have expected them to be, and more liberal than previous rulings or previous
guidelines. But I think the bigger point here is that there is no indication that Trump would put a federal ban on abortion.
Well, he couldn't. That's the whole thing. He could not.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court would say, we already ruled on it. Look back 2 years ago, folks.
Yeah.
That's it.
But this led really nicely, dovetailed very nicely when Biden started talking about illegal immigration into the next topic, which was immigration and border security. And they went to Biden first. And again, I look at this is what I said to Edward. I wrote it down. I said, because I was taking all the notes, and I said, I don't understand what he's saying between his hoarseness and his dentures. And what did Trump say when they went
Trump,
to him?
What a great response. He says, and I don't even know what he said. And I don't think he knows what he said either. And he decided to open up our country. We had the safest border in history. The Border Patrol endorsed me for president.
But my point is that, like, exactly what I was thinking is what Trump said.
Well, he had the great part of this debate was two things. The split screen was perfect because you could
it
see.
It helped Trump.
Helped Trump tremendously.
It did.
And the muted mics.
Helped Trump, which we predicted last week it would.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you know how many times he wanted to jump in on Biden and he couldn't? And it saved his butt from letting Joe go off the rails, which we see he does.
And he looked, President Trump actually looked more presidential and he didn't come across as a bully.
Yeah.
But we are digressing. So let's go on to foreign policy.
Let's do it.
Okay. So they started the question, the moderator, with Russia's war against Ukraine.
Yeah.
Tell us what Trump said.
I love Trump. He just looks and he looks over at Biden. He says, our veterans and soldiers cannot stand this guy. And you could just see the look. Biden was just so pissed. But he said, as far as Russia, Putin would never have invaded Ukraine. He was so bad with Afghanistan that Putin saw the weakness and incompetence. He said, no general was fired for the most embarrassing moment in our history. He reiterated that a few times. Mm-hmm. He said Iran was broke, meaning they had no money
because Trump
put all the sanctions on them. And you basically had no terror during my administration.
And that was the strongest line. I think you should have left with that,
absolutely.
And then Biden said, we got 100,000 Americans out of Afghanistan. It's like, seriously, you're not going to talk about what a disaster that was? And again, Dana Bash jumped in and just saved his ass and didn't let him ramble. And then Trump responded.
Yeah, they asked about what he would do. Are Vladimir Putin's terms acceptable that Putin wants to keep all the land that he has and everything?
Right.
And Trump said, no, they're not acceptable. He said, and he went back to, this war should never have started. It wouldn't have started on my watch. He said, I'll get that war settled before I take office. He said, from the election day to when I take office, I'll have that war settled. He's throwing down the marker right there for sure.
Yes. And can finish up the segment for us, please. What did Biden say?
Well, so Biden, his response is that we give weapons now. We don't give money because Trump said we're throwing away hundreds of billions of dollars, which we are.
Yeah.
Biden tried to counter that we're giving weapons now. And I thought, really? The Democrats are now bragging that we're going to help our economy by manufacturing weapons of war, right? Which they're always against. But in reality, we're also paying Ukraine's social services, we're paying their pensions, all their programs over there. Yeah, we're sending them money. It's not just arms that we're sending.
So that was a win for Trump.
Big win for Trump.
Yeah. They dove a little deeper into the Middle East, specifically Israel versus Gaza and / Hamas. And they went to Biden first. He was immediately slurring again, guys. And
dentures were loose.
Yeah, the dentures were loose. I don't know. And he talked about his 3-stage plan. He loves the number two. And he said that he denied Israel specific bombs that would hurt too many civilians. And then he actually said, we saved Israel. And the split screen was on and Trump was shaking his head and almost laughed. I'm glad he didn't laugh.
Yeah.
But he almost did. Why don't you tell us what Trump said as a response?
Trump said, you know, for Ukraine, NATO needs to step up. He said, we're over $100 billion spent in there. And as far as Israel, let them finish the job.
And what did he say about Biden?
He looks at Biden, he goes, he's like a Palestinian, a bad one. And that put Biden on his heels as if he wasn't already.
So I think that was a win for Trump again.
Yeah, and Biden tried to counter, well, I got 50 nations to support Ukraine.
And
everybody just went, so?
Yeah. And that was a win for Trump. Definitely. Then we knew that they were going to go to January 6th and storming the Capitol. And tell us what Trump, because I think Trump came out pretty strong on this. And I'd actually like you to quote some of those dates.
Yeah, he said, you know, when he was asked about it, he said on January 6th, he was talking about up to this point, January 6th, we had a great border, energy independent, lowest taxes ever, lowest regulations ever, respected around the world. And then he comes in and we're laughed at. He said, I said peacefully and patriotically.
About January
which
6th.
He did, yes. So that's the two words that are very famous. He said, Nancy Pelosi admitted she was responsible for security in D.C. And that Trump, he said, I offered 10,000 troops and Nancy turned them down. And he talked about a video that Nancy Pelosi's daughter had shot in the limousine that day as she was scurrying away from the Capitol saying, Nancy Pelosi saying,
on camera,
this is my responsibility. And they're trying to say, no, Nancy, it's not. She says, it's my responsibility.
Yeah, the Capitol police fall under her purview.
Yeah. Let's be very clear. The president of the United States cannot call out the National Guard. That is for governors only and one mayor and one mayor only. And where is that? Washington, D.C.
Yes.
is the only mayor in the country that can call out the National Guard because there's only Washington, D.C., the city.
Right.
So, but yeah, that, I just thought that was Nancy Pelosi line was great.
It was because the evidence is out there where this is not made up.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and Biden responded by saying he encouraged those folks and then he just stopped and Jake Tapper cut him off. And then Biden threw in, he's a convicted felon, and Trump just nodded. It was hilarious. Like Trump just went, yeah. And then, you know, Biden tried to come back with, you know, you denounce the people that attacked the Capitol. And again, to be fair, no one was really answering the question. This continues. This is where I feel like the debate kind of took a turn. The moderator came back and said, would you please clarify, will you go after your political opponents? And the question was to Trump.
Yeah. And of course, that's one of their boogeyman things, that Donald Trump is going to wage this retribution that's going to, you know, burn down
every
institution.
What did Trump say?
Trump had a great response.
Yes.
He said, the greatest retribution is my success.
Yes.
It was like, amen. Then, of course, he should have stopped right there because that's like,
that was
bang,
perfect.
That's
but
a great
then he
line.
Did.
He said, you know, his son's a convicted felon, right? On serious charges. He could be a convicted felon too, meaning Biden. He said, this man's a criminal. I did nothing wrong. And he actually said, I didn't sleep with a porn star. And it's like, as soon as he said that, I thought of Richard Nixon going, I am not a criminal.
Right?
Lick sticks.
Lipstick. Okay. Hold on.
There you go.
Thank you. Sorry. Lipstick. And Biden said, the idea that I did anything wrong is outrageous. It's simply a lie. You're worse than an alley cat. I do feel like you can, and you can disagree with me if you like, I feel like this was sort of a tie. Because Tapper cut Biden off enough to make him sound coherent.
I guess. Now, one thing about, if you were doing a drinking game, it was a word that I didn't think you should have put in a drinking game.
What?
But the word idea. Because Biden, so many times during night, he would say, the idea. And he would, it was like, idea. And it was like, oh, good God, give me another shot.
Okay. But
and
we did
by
not
the way, did we have any beverages? I think I had a beer.
I had some wine, but it wasn't a game.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. All right. And then I thought this was very weird. But the moderators decided to ask specifically about Black Americans. And I would like you to do this little segment here, just what Biden, Trump, Biden, and my response to all of this.
Yeah, so I was kind of surprised that they asked about the progress being kind of reversed under Biden. And Biden said, employment's down and we provided housing, 2 million houses, we're going to build 2 million houses, and just went off the rails. He said, I reduced Black child care costs in half. I don't blame them, meaning the Black voters, for being disappointed. It's like,
okay.
And Trump jumps in. Well, he caused the inflation. He destroyed it. And he said, you know, immigrants are taking Blacks and Hispanic jobs. And he was talking about inflation. Inflation is the worst tax on a poor person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can't avoid it.
Yeah.
And you're spending more for less. So, yeah. And Biden said the economy was flat on its back again.
And this is the best
line. I love this. We provided thousands of millions of jobs.
Yes. And I was so frustrated by this point, you guys. I was like, you can't keep spending. You can't keep spending across the board. And
Really?
we're not getting into the minutia of the money here, but I feel like this was a win for Trump slightly. But the bottom line is both of these guys spent too much money, way too much money.
Agreed.
Okay. This next one, to Edward's relief, was very brief. It was hilarious. So they asked about the climate crisis. And I want to quote Dana Bash. She said, "We have extreme heat, intensifying wildfires." This is not meant to be an impersonation, by the way. All right. "Extreme heat, intensifying wildfires, stronger hurricanes, and rising sea levels." And that's what she wanted to talk about. This was hilarious. Both Biden and Trump completely ignored that question and just continued talking about Blacks and Hispanics and jobs. So it's a tie because they didn't even talk about
Yeah,
it.
I was so thrilled with that because, watchers and listeners of our show know that I think the climate crisis is the biggest scam in history.
That's his opinion. Yes.
It's true, but
Yes. That's your
So yeah,
opinion.
I was so glad they both just ignored it and wanted to go back and talk about Black and Hispanics again. Sorry.
Yes.
And she was like, but.
And then they went to Social Security, and will you tell us what Biden said, and then let me cut in?
Yeah, we're going to make the very wealthy pay their fair share. We have 1,000 trillionaires.
Thousand
There's
trillionaires?
no such thing as a
That's
trillionaire
amazing.
yet.
Yes.
Okay. Nobody's a trillionaire. Nobody's close to being a trillionaire.
Yes.
He says Trump will cut Social Security. Okay. Again, Trump's going to end democracy, cut Social Security, blah, 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 blah. So scare tactics,
Yes.
and Trump's never said that.
And I jumped in here while we were watching. First of all, Trump has never said that. And the truth is, neither one of these guys, Biden or Trump, is willing to cut Social Security or willing to increase the retirement age, which that's what really needs to happen. That can make all the difference in the world. And neither one of them is going to touch it. Not at all.
Yeah, Trump responded, "I've never seen anyone like this guy. It's misinformation and disinformation." I love that he's throwing it back in their face, right?
Yeah.
He says he's destroying Social Security because of illegal immigrants. And it was funny, I was watching a panel on, I think, CNN, and they tried to say they took that he's destroying Social Security because of illegal immigrants. And the panelist was saying, "But illegal immigrants pay Social Security taxes out of their paycheck." And the other person said, "Well, that unfortunately, illegal immigrants don't have Social Security numbers, so they're using a fake Social Security
Yes.
number."
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So then they went on to childcare, and much like the climate crisis, the candidates just chose not to talk about childcare. They didn't want to. I mean, it's kind of, and this is, I mean, as the night went on, things, sort of started going off the rails here. So tell us what Trump said when they asked about
Yeah,
childcare.
he kind of went back to the Afghanistan
Yes.
thing, and Trump said he doesn't fire people. I fired a lot of people. Drain the swamp. Joe, our country is being destroyed. We're wasting time up here. He's right that nobody has been held accountable for Joe Biden. He
That's
has
true.
not fired a single senior staffer for anything that's gone wrong.
Yes. And then will you give us these kind of back and forth?
Yeah, Biden, we should increase the tax credit. And Trump, saying he's bragging too much. And Biden says he will increase taxes on the middle class, number one. Number two,
Two. Yes.
again,
So
yeah.
no one won this because the
It's
actual
just,
question was about childcare. It was just a disaster.
yes.
Then they went into the opioid crisis. And the moderator said more than 100,000 Americans are dying from overdoses every year. And this is near and dear to my heart because my mother's an addict, and it's near and dear to my heart. So Trump flat out said that Biden wasn't answering the question and said before COVID we had few problems. And now, but then he started getting vague a little bit. And then Biden jumped in with, well, fentanyl went down for a while, but didn't get specific at all. And then he said, we just need more fentanyl detection machines.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah, give me more machines and
that's,
that'll end it.
yeah, like the fentanyl, crisis is not linked to illegal immigration, which Trump did come back strong. I do think he said he came back, he linked it back to illegal immigration and said, look, Biden ended the Remain in Mexico policy. Biden ended catch and release in Mexico. And so I think Trump closed the loop. I still don't think either one of them really won this segment.
You know, when he said he ended catch and release in Mexico, he then actually said, so he's doing catch and release here in the United States and making every state a border state, which was actually a pretty good answer. And I believe that the Democrats don't have an opioid problem. They have a hopioid problem.
Hopioid.
They're just relying on hope.
Oh, God, that is terrible.
Come on.
Oh, God.
Dad joke number one.
Oh. Okay, your level of attractiveness just went down.
Skyrocketed.
It just went down a point.
Through the roof.
Even though you're really incredibly handsome and I love you. Okay. All right. So for the last part of this debate, I actually think this was the poorest thing constructed question. It was that, what are your concerns about each person? And we're going to kind of act this out again. Edward can do voices. I'm not trying to do voices, but I'm going to kind of do the Biden. He's going to do the Trump. So they point out, you know, President Biden, he will be the oldest president ever if elected. He starts babbling about Samsung.
Yeah.
And then he says, and we're the envy of the world. And my immediate response was, no, we're not. We're not anymore. And then give us Trump when they went to Trump and how old he would be.
Yeah, they said Trump would be 82 at the end of his term.
At the end,
trying to make him older than he is. Trump, of course, responds, you know, I took two age-specific tests. Biden didn't take any of them.
That's true.
I take physical exams every year. I feel as I'm in good a shape as I was 25 years ago. I aced cognitive tests. I aced them.
Yes. Yeah. And then this is where it devolved into arguing about their golf game and their golf handicap. It was so stupid.
I think Biden looked more stupid on this because, you know, Joe Biden is a pure Walter Mitty, right? Lives in this fantasy world. And he says he was a 6 handicap. Now, I've been a golfer my entire life. Joe Biden is not a 6 handicap.
But I don't think we should digress into the golf the way they did.
But no, and that's the point is he's trying to appeal to Trump that I'm a really good golfer, and Trump's, you know, basically shooing him off like a fly.
Yes.
But the great thing, Trump responded.
He brought it back.
He realized where it was going, and Biden wasn't going to shut up. He said, let's not act like children. He said,
this was really good. Yeah.
Yeah, really a good point. He said, I wish he was a great president because I wouldn't be here right now. He said, I've got homes. I could be relaxing at home. You know, I wouldn't be indicted. He said, we're going to make America great again. His policies are so bad. We're very close to World War III. The enemies don't respect him.
And that
was all true.
Biden tried to respond. And what I wrote down was Biden's delusional because everything Biden said in response made zero sense. And then Trump finished.
Yeah, he wanted to drive home the point. He said, you know, when I was president, Russia took no land from me. Our enemies took land from Bush, Obama, and Biden. And then they asked him previously if he would accept the results of a free and fair election. And he said, if it's a fair, legal, and good election, I will accept the results.
And Biden just came back with, you're a whiner.
Yeah.
While whining, like you said it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Trump did go into, you know, if there's questions about it, I'll have to think about it, or kind of something along those lines.
I think overall, though, this was a win for Trump.
Yeah.
I think the reason it was a win was because he pointed out that Biden has not taken any of the tests, any of the cognitive or physical tests, or at least they're not being released.
Yeah. And before we get to our next section, I mean, have you heard anyone out there that has thought that Biden won this debate?
Well, apparently 33%.
Well, you're seeing polls.
Yes.
Right. You're seeing polls. But have you seen anybody on television, anybody in print?
Oh, Rachel Maddow. Yes.
Well, that's true. Okay.
She lied through her teeth.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was actually just watching Nancy Pelosi on CNN this morning, and even she said, you know, he had a bad night. And rarely in history of presidential debates will you ever see more of a clear-cut winner and loser. There's no question. No question. This was an historic debate.
Yes.
It really was.
It was a train wreck that you just...
For the wrong reasons.
Yes, that you just couldn't turn away from. And so here are some of our questions afterwards. So people are finally starting to see the real Biden, and I at least I hope, and realize that the media has been lying to them. And this is what amazes me, is that regardless of if you, well, no, I take that back. If you're not looking at different types of media from different points of view, maybe you could realize, maybe you could believe that Biden was doing okay. But to me, if all you had to look at was just actual footage of him, like, and yeah, you would see actual recordings, you could see how feeble he was. And so the real question here is, will Biden remain on the ticket? And Edward did some great research about where we are with certain states and the actual laws they have.
Yeah, now we are live here Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
This is going to drop Monday for most people that watch this later. He could resign between now and then.
I know, that's
so
true.
You know, let's hope, you know, none of this comes to effect here. But in terms of will Biden or can Biden remain on the ticket, can they bring somebody else in?
Yeah, talk about these states.
There's a problem, though, because there's a few states out there that have ironclad laws, and Wisconsin being the biggest here. Wisconsin is a battleground state.
Yep, for sure.
Big round. And it does not allow withdrawal from the ballot for any reasons besides death.
Wow.
And the reason is they're already on the ballots in these states because they had to register to do their primaries.
Yeah.
Okay. So Biden is already locked in. Now people would say, well, Wisconsin can just change their laws. Well, guess what?
Not in time.
Well, guess what? Well, oh, Democrats never worry about that. And I could go over many examples of when.
Okay, but let's keep going.
But no, I want to touch on this one point. The reason you shouldn't get Democrats, you shouldn't get excited about Wisconsin is, granted, they have a Democrat governor, but the House and their Senate, they don't call it the House, they call it their Assembly and their Senate,
yes,
are dominated by Republicans. It's 64% and 65% in each one of those houses.
Okay, but I'm going to steer you back.
But so the point is, don't expect the Republicans to save your ass in Wisconsin. They're not going to change the laws.
All right. I'm going to say the next one.
Please do.
Okay. All right. Because we're running a little longer than usual. So I want to keep us on point. In Nevada, another battleground state, no changes can be made to the ballot after 5 p.m. on the fourth Friday in June of an election year, we just passed that, or a nominee dies, or is adjudicated insane or mentally incompetent. So Wisconsin, you have to die, but in Nevada, you can either die by a certain time or be declared mentally incompetent.
So that would be the 25th Amendment.
Right? We'll get to that.
For that,
so. All right. In Georgia, if Biden were to withdraw less than 60 days before the election, Georgia has his name will remain on the ballot, but no votes will be counted toward him. Okay. And then tell us about Texas.
So in Texas, the two parties' nominees have until the 74th day before the election to withdraw from the ballot. I didn't even do the math on that, but
Oh, so and then we have another
one
here.
They can still do it. Some states, though, like South Carolina, do not allow candidates to withdraw for political reasons. Now that can be, you know, gotten around because if you're incompetent, that's not a political reason.
Okay. So that gets us to the next point. Yeah. How do we get him to resign? And you brought up the first one.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's the 25th Amendment, and I just find it so deeply ironic and juicy that we're seriously talking about the 25th Amendment for Joe Biden, because the entire first term of Trump,
that's right,
that's all the Democrats, he's got to be taken out with the 25th Amendment. This is just schadenfreude to the max.
Yes. And then the question is, will Jill let him resign? And I commented on this on my personal Facebook page, but at the very end of the debate, and you had to keep watching to see it, but you do see it very clearly. Trump, you know, strides off stage right. And you know, there goes Trump, right? Biden doesn't move. Jill Biden comes up. She grabs his arm the way you would support someone who's blind and feeble. And he shuffles toward the edge of the stage. And I think there were two or three steps, kind of flat steps, short steps. And he takes one step at a time, like foot, 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 foot. And the whole time he's holding on to Jill. And I blame her. This is flat out elder abuse. You have been with this man. You've been married to him much longer than he's been president and you've been first lady. And you can see what this is doing to him. It is your responsibility as his wife, as a good wife, if you were a good wife, and I don't believe you are, but it's your responsibility to say, honey, it's time to step down. It's time to let somebody else take over before we get to, what's it called? The DNC,
the convention,
the convention. I mean, and she should have done this at the beginning of the year. You know, I mean, she should have done this a long time ago. And so I absolutely cannot stand this woman. And I forgot to preface this with my maternal grandmother suffered from Alzheimer's for 10 years, 10 years. She never recognized me. She never remembered my name, but physically she was quite capable and she could have done a better job than Joe Biden did. I mean, she absolutely could have, and she was not interested in politics at all, but she was physically quite capable, but mentally completely gone.
Yeah.
And then give us the next one.
Well, so
elephant.
If you can get Biden out, what do you do with a problem like Kamala?
Yes.
Right? I mean,
I feel like that was a song.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. Good catch there.
Yeah.
But, you know, is Kamala going to go quietly in the night and let somebody leapfrog her?
No.
Are you kidding? Do you know how many people she had to sleep with and do to get to where she is? I mean,
I think just
that tipped
Willie.
To Willie Brown.
Yes. Okay. So we don't know what's going to happen.
I can't imagine what's going on in the White House right now, what's going on in, you know, Obama land, because they're responsible for this crap, right? They are 100%. The Biden team or the Obama team is responsible for Joe Biden, first for picking him as VP. That was a stupid thing to do.
Well, remember Biden early on said, Joe, you don't have to do this.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want Joe to run.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When your boss is telling you, you really should, yeah, it's okay. But anyway,
I'm just going to say Democrats, a lot of other options.
Yeah.
They had a lot of other options. You would not be having this issue if, for example, Warren had been elected.
Yeah. Now, our last little point here is advice to the RNC again.
Advice to the RNC or to Trump
to
personally?
No, to the RNC and Trump.
Well,
and,
yes,
and to Donald
he's
Trump.
He's going to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So, yeah, say to him.
Do not. Please do not announce your vice president pick just yet.
Yes.
Okay.
We know the
Dems are going to have a cat fight like you've never seen. Just sit back. You know, I know you don't drink, but grab a sarsaparilla and enjoy.
Diet Coke.
Yeah. Diet Coke. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So. And this is, so we're going to do this next part. This is Edward's final word on Joe Biden. And this actually comes from Shipwrecked Crew on Twitter, also known now as X. And we don't know the name of this person, but in his ex description, he is the defense attorney for over 55 January 6th defendants. And we're going to put a link to this in the show notes. This post is so good. So we want to credit Shipwrecked Crew. That's a lot of weird consonants that didn't go together well. But anyway, and Biden's going to read this because it's really good.
Okay, you called me Biden.
I'm sorry. Edward's going to read this about
that
Biden.
Hurts. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, and this is the way I truly feel about Joe Biden. I could probably go a little bit farther, but Shipwrecked Crew, he writes, I've been watching Joe Biden for 40 plus years. I never let go of my view that he's one, of below average intelligence, and two, a loathsome human being lacking in character or basic morality. Amen. That's me. Amen. He's a serial liar and always has been. He is a fabulist who is the walking embodiment of the Walter Mitty syndrome. His entire lived life is based on the premise that he could get 150 to 250,000 people to vote for him every 6 years in a backwater, backward state that exists in the shadow of its neighbors.
No offense, Delaware. Keep going.
Yeah. He has never paused for even a moment to consider whether it is an ethical way of life for his extended family members to earn money based on almost nothing more than the fact that they share his last name. He has no guiding principle or political beliefs, which is evidenced by his wild policy swings over 50 years in office. His North Star in politics was always the shifting center of the Democrat Party, wherever that may be found. He has always been willing to say whatever he thought was what was politically opportune at any particular moment in time. He should have stayed retired from politics in 2008 when Obama called him. Obama didn't really want Biden, but what he really didn't want was Hillary. Yeah. He knew Biden would sit in the corner with his few aides from his time in the Senate and keep his mouth shut. Well, as I'm editorializing here, he didn't realize that Biden was going to be making money off of Ukraine and China and everything else.
Okay, finish, and then we got some people with comments.
I read and hear Democrat Party shills lamenting that if this performance sends him on a path to a resounding defeat, it will destroy his legacy. Joe Biden has never had a legacy. He's always been the Fredo Corleone of the Democrat Party, and like Fredo, he just has never known that. Good riddance.
Okay, so again, that was from Shipwrecked Crew. And we love, we see people watching live, but we do have someone here, GP. Okay, thank you, GP. All right, so let's go over some of your comments here. We're going to feature you, hun. Okay, here we go. So more white people with opinions on the internet. How original. Okay, well, you don't have to watch us.
So we are white, and
yes,
I don't recall us bringing up race except for what was in the debate. Right?
He said, seriously, quit your round eyes. I can't do anything about the shape of my eyes. I'm the only one watching. No, you're not. We can see people who are watching live. You're not the only one. Let's see.
And thank you for watching, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
We love haters too.
I didn't realize unseasoned chicken could talk for so long.
Boy, that's cool. I like that.
I think that was toward you.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I love chicken, by the way.
Tell him, Karen. Oh, that's me.
Yes.
I guess I'm Karen here. Okay. let's see.
Oh, goodness.
Take charge. You will save this channel. Is that for me? Let me know.
Okay.
GP. Thank you. But you're not the only viewer. Like I said, we can see who watches live, and we do stream across multiple platforms, but we appreciate your comments. We do. We love them.
Thanks for the insults, but guess what? I could not care less. You can call me any name in the book. I don't care.
But we appreciate, appreciate you watching. We do.
Absolutely.
We welcome different points of view. And if you watch us, if you decide to watch us again, you'll see that we often disagree. Okay, so we don't have a This Week in Wins.
We do not. However, we're staying with the Biden theme.
Okay. All right. This week and what the fuck? One more from GP, and then we're going to continue on with our program since the podcasters can't see his comments. He says, "You are dead inside."
Ooh.
Hmm.
Now, you millennials or whomever you are, people on the left would say, "He's threatening me. Oh, he said dead."
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, last time I checked, I have a pulse, so okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I believe. Are you confusing me with Joe Biden?
I don't know. Okay, we're going to give him one more, and then have to continue with our program. Imagine being a boomer. Okay, just to clarify, I'm not. I'm a Gen Xer. I'm that generation that nobody talks about anymore between the millennials and the boomers, but I'm a Gen Xer. You are a very young baby boomer. Then deciding to start a YouTube channel to let everyone know how bad your takes are. Okay, well. Yep.
That's the reason we did it.
Yes, that's why. Yeah. Even though, again, we have different points of view, but okay. This week in What the Fuck, shall we continue?
We shall.
All right. Thanks, JP. The Bidens use Delaware homes as an ATM, refinancing, get ready for it, guys, 35 times with loans totaling $6 million. And this is from the Business and Politics Report. We will be sure to tag you on X and Facebook. So, and this, whenever told me about this story, I was like, what? Like, I was like, this is a what the fuck. So since 1975, the Bidens have lived in two houses in Delaware, with their first property in Wilmington being sold in the 90s. And they reportedly secured a new mortgage or credit line on both homes every 17 months.
Yeah, because everybody does that.
I've never heard that. And that's according to the Daily Mail. Over the decades, the Bidens have borrowed a total of $6 million, and that's still an outstanding $541,000 mortgage on their current Wilmington mansion, nearly three decades after they bought it.
So let's stop there for a minute. So
yeah, I they got it.
They still owe $500,000 30 years later.
Yes, well, that's because of all the refis. Okay.
good stewardship there.
All right. According to the mortgage documents, the president and first lady purchased their current 4-acre home in, is this the same house? Yes. Okay. I'm just going to jump ahead. So they've saddled this home with 20 different home credit agreements and mortgages totaling $4.23 million. Mind you, they bought it for $350,000. This is insane. And should I do the next part?
Sure.
All right. So their previous home in the same town that they purchased was purchased for $185,000 in 1975 and sold for $1.2 million in 1996.
Sold controversially for
That's an opinion.
Million.
That's an opinion.
No, we'll get into that in a second.
Okay, but the property, I think this is what really grabs people. The property has a total of 15 mortgages and lines of credit associated with it. That's insane.
Right. So let me set this up here to clean it up, to finish it up, I should say. So that first home, 13 different home loans, 2 credit agreements. Before they sold it to a company called MBNA, an executive from there. MBNA is one of the biggest and most powerful companies in, wait for it, Delaware.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
So they sold a house in 1996 that had an actual value of about $350,000. An MBNA executive comes in and buys it for $1.2 million. Yeah. And to put that in perspective, that same house that guy paid $1.2 million for in 96, 30 years later, today, that house is only worth $1.6 million. So over the last 30 years, it's only appreciated $400,000. I find that incredibly hard to believe.
I think you should close the last point, which is way more important in my opinion.
Well, let MBNA, again, one of the most powerful, influential companies in Delaware, notably hired Biden's son, Hunter, in 1996, where he eventually went on to become senior vice president of the company. Yeah, they paid him $150,000 right out of college back in 96. He had zero experience. And then this executive goes and buys their house.
I was going to say, maybe he was really...
He was just brilliant.
Yes.
Just maybe, brilliant.
Maybe that was before he had a drug problem.
I think the reason I wanted this story to come up was because this just epitomizes that Biden has been crooked from the very, very beginning, or shady.
Yes. He's not the only politician that we would say that about.
No, of course not. Both sides.
Both sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
However, he happens to be the current sitting president. So
Yes. Okay.
Before
we close up, GP, I mean, you stayed with us, doll. So I just want to give you some credit here. So you are both boomers. No, not according to the sociologist, which is based on the year we're born. If you think by attitude, we're both boomers, whatever. And by the way, boomers should be capitalized in that sense. And let's see. This may be my favorite. Her closeted husband just can't make her happy.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, I think the joke, I think he's talking about us.
I guess, yes.
I think the joke is on you because he's not my husband.
Nope.
We're not married. He does make me very happy.
Thank you.
Very happy. But we don't have that kind of show, and it's none of your business what we do in our bedroom. So, but GP. I keep saying JP. Yeah. Sorry. GP, we do thank you for your feedback in real time.
Yes. And let me say, GP, thank you for being, let's see, racist, sexist, and ageist, all in the same thread here. So thank you very much.
Actually, you're right.
Yeah.
He was definitely at least two of those three.
No, it's all three.
Yeah, but definitely ageist. Gosh.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sexist. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. Please follow us on all social media platforms, just like GP is doing right now. You can join us live most Sundays, including next Sunday at 10 a.m. PST at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stream live, as GP has found, on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the next day, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. right now. And again, you can learn more, you can email us, you can even leave us a voice message by going to our website. That's myfavoriteconservative.show. Again, myfavoriteconservative.show. And we will be back live next Sunday and hope you all have a very happy 4th of July.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.